Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. This has been on my heart recently. I guess maybe because of the debates, I don't know. Looking at the spirit of the age. And this is not to get political per se, but you look at the candidates and you hear what they have to say, and you notice that some of them say nothing at all. But they speak a lot. But there is a spirit behind it. And sometimes there's an energization, I believe, from the atmosphere in that whole process. And certainly there is major satanic strategy in this, because then you have control over countries if you have an ungodly leader. So in the last days, perilous times will come. And the Word of God says also in Ephesians 5 that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And so we redeem the time. What does that mean, to redeem the time? That means that I don't have time to fool around. This is going to be, I think, a little bit of a different type of a message. I don't have time to fool around. Why? Because the days are evil and there are perilous times. Now in Matthew 24, this is an amazing passage of Scripture. The Word of God says, and starting in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles gather together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And there shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And likewise ye, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you understand? This is coming. What time is it? What time is it? Jesus rebuked the Pharisees that they could read the signs of the sky, but they didn't see the time. What time is it? Think about what's going on in the world right now. We have a globalization going on. We already have the United States of Europe. I remember Pastor Stevens talked about that about 15, 20 years before it actually happened. Before anybody was even thinking about it. We already have the United States of Europe. We already have a system that is looking like this economic time. What are people looking for? They are looking for a leader to solve the world's economic problems. Mm-hmm. They are already meeting in Washington. All the financial ministers of the world met in Washington. And they are trying to resolve this problem. And they have come to the conclusion that they need a leader to resolve the problem. Guys, we don't have time. Now, nobody knows when the Lord is going to come. Nobody knows when the rapture is coming. But we do know the proximity. And we are in the proximity. I personally believe that we are at the end of the beginning of sorrows. 20 years ago, nobody knew what 666 was, except that it was the mark of the beast. Now people know that it's a computer code. 20 years ago, nobody knew what it meant that the chip would go or the code would go under the forehead and under the skin of the right hand. Now we're doing it in different places. Mexico is doing it. little computer chip with a GPS device in it, signal in it. And they're putting it under the skin of the hands of their prosecutors. We are closer than we have ever been. No time in history has been as close as this time. And it is a stone's throw away. Now, whether that means it'll happen in 2 minutes or 200 years, I don't know. But it's coming. We don't have time. The days are evil. So we buy back whatever time we have. How do I buy back the time? I make it count. I have opportunities, and that's all I have. I have promises, and that's all I have. I have a calling or a leading, and that's all I have. And I have the Word of God, and that's all I have. And I do take advantage of what I have. What happens to a lot of believers is they get distracted. Whether it's the details of life or relationships, whether it's the things that they desire in their natural thinking, whether it's natural goals, whatever it is, the days are evil. Buy back your time. At the Bema Seat, we will be evaluated for what we did with our opportunities. God has given you opportunities. But the days are evil and the days are short. Satan is busier than he's ever been. He's more educated. He's more cunning. And he's angrier. And he's anxious. He knows the time that's coming. He also knows what's coming after that time. He knows that only in a little while, although he himself does not know exactly when, but he knows the prophecies that were given in the Word of God. He knows that Jesus said he would be back in about 2 days. He knows that 2 Peter 3:8 says that a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. He knows the meaning of these things. He is more anxious because he knows his opportunities are coming to an end. And so he is more active than he has ever been. We are in a place in the world where they are calling right wrong and wrong right. We are in a place in the world right now, and America is still a beacon of sorts in this regard, but even in this country it is so, where they are saying, oh, it is your right to kill your child. And now it is not only your right to kill your child before the child is born, it's your right to kill your child after the child is born. Now they say, okay, the abortion was botched and the child survived, but you cannot give the child life-saving help. Now there's a move in some places where a child, even as a toddler, can be abandoned to die. They are called, and they call this a right. Think about it. It is as in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 says that the days of Noah were sanctified unto violence and cruelty in the original language. We have violence and we have cruelty. And we are as is in the days of Noah. We have men who still preach the Word of God. And we have those who proclaim grace and they proclaim the finished work. And they even warn, you know, repent, be saved, or you'll go to hell. But what happens? Then you have other men who will openly mock them and they will put it into the movie theaters and these people are celebrated. Just like the days of Noah. By the way, who was Noah? Noah was a king. He was the leader at the time. He was the king. And 120 years before it happened, God told Noah, it's going to happen. But Noah was the only one who believed. You have a man of God who is a president, and what happens? He is mocked and he is ridiculed for the decisions he says that God has led him into. Who am I to doubt? He is a believer and he confesses Christ and he carries him as a banner, and the world ridicules him. But who does the world celebrate? The world celebrates the person who says, we don't need God. The person who says, you are what it is about. And this is where we are now. Right? This is where we are now. Like even in the 1960s, and I don't personally agree with him, but I think there were many things that he said that were of merit. When John Kennedy said, for example, don't ask what you can do for, or what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. But now if you listen to the presidential debates, it's all about what your country can do for you. Don't even think about what you can do for your country. Not very long ago, evil came on the earth and the Americans wholesale signed up to fight evil, right, with Hitler. I mean, I remember my mother-in-law when she was alive, she would say how the young men that she went to high school with, right after high school, they would go to the day they graduated, literally, they'd go into the recruiting office and sign up to go fight. A few years ago on Nightline, Ted Koppel did an interview with some college students. Would you go fight for your country? Only one student said she would fight for her country. I never forget the words of one young man. He said, I have a plan for my future and war is not a part of it. That man had no integrity. But you know what? Look at what they are saying today. They are in agreement with him. I saw a great bumper sticker the other day. If you don't want to get behind our troops, get in front of them. We don't have that much time. We don't have that much time. The days are evil. The days of Noah are here. The days when men hate God openly and are not ashamed to say it. The days when people proclaim immorality and are proud of it. And they are even celebrated. And it is accepted as a norm. These are the days of Noah. We don't have very much time. There is no time for me to fool around. There is no time for me to get absorbed with petty, self-oriented things of iniquity. There is no time for me to be self-conscious. People are going into hell, and I am sitting here self-conscious. There is no time for that. Now, I don't go out to sowing because I'm supposed to, on the one hand. But on the other hand, God said to do it. I don't go out to sowing because it makes me spiritual, but I do go out to sowing because God said to do it. And quite frankly, if I don't do it, I'm not obedient to God. Now, some people have a different capacity than others. Right? You get a mom with a bunch of children, she's not going to be able to go out there, but she can sow in her children. I'll tell you one thing, we don't have time for silly, petty games. Why did this occur to me? Because I drive by a bunch of churches every single day, but I never see anybody out there on the streets except the Mormons and the JWs and us. There's not much time. Can you imagine what it will be like in the tribulation? I'll never forget one time I was at work. I'm a teacher. I work in a 3-story building. And I was standing at the window in one of the classrooms at lunch. And I was looking out, it overlooked the stadium, and there's a hill behind the stadium and some trees. And in my mind's eye, just as clear as day, in my imagination, I could just see. And I wasn't even thinking, I could see a demon with a body flying over the trees very quickly and very angry. What startled me about that was how real that's going to be. When in the tribulation, hell is opened up, and the demons that are locked in Tartarus, the ones with the bodies from Genesis 6, are going to come out. And they're going to pour it out on the earth. I teach kids who will probably see this. I was looking at one kid the other day. Nice kid. Sweet kid. A little bit worldly. But overall, a nice kid. Doesn't really have much interest in God. I was thinking, you're going to see this unless you change your mind. People we know very possibly might see the judgments. In one judgment alone, a third of the planet's population is going to perish. Sometimes I stand in my classroom and I wonder how many of you may it be. We don't have much time. They're going to know who the Antichrist is. People believe, some people do, that he's already here. At least alive. If not in some kind of a position of power. But the world's going to rally about him. Because they're going to look for a leader. And the leader is going to be an economic leader. The revised Roman Empire is an economic empire. Do you realize what this is? This is the end of the beginning of sorrows. How does the beginning of sorrows end? It ends at the rapture. And then it breaks out. And even the 3.5-year false peace is not really going to be all that peaceful. Because those people who get saved at that time, they are going to be persecuted to death. Satan is going to have, in the form of Antichrist, is going to have his people out there hunting for believers. And he's going to cut their heads off. It is very possible that we know some of them. Or even more frighteningly, it is very possible that we know some of those people who will not become believers at that time. And they will face great horror. Can you imagine what it will be like when the waters, the oceans and the seas turn to blood? And you don't even have anything to drink. And there won't be any rain. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? And even if it doesn't come in our lifetime, there is still a real heaven and there is still a real hell. And the people that we know are going to go to heaven or into hell. And the people that we pass by in the supermarket aisle are either going to go into heaven or to hell, or maybe they will see the tribulation. Can you imagine what it was like during the flood? All of a sudden, the water starts rising and the earth starts shaking. because water came from the deep as well as from the rain. So that means there were seismic events going on. And the crust of the earth broke open. That's where you get your continental drift from. And the crust of the earth breaks open and water starts coming up. And the Coriolis forces, the forces that were caused by the spinning of the earth, were so great that they managed to carve out the Grand Canyon in a matter of hours or days. Just like they did at Mount St. Helens. In one day, it carved out a 1/40th scale model of the Grand Canyon. Interesting that it was a 1/40th scale model in one day. And they say that the water, scientists who researched this say that the water was so brutally rapid that it was only maybe a foot or two deep, but it was carving it out like a huge knife. Well, it'll be as the days of Noah now. That judgment won't come, but another one will. And the judgment that is coming will be unlike anything that the earth has ever seen. You know what that tells me? Noah's judgment was easy compared to this thing that's coming. That was easy. Do we have a choice but to be soul winners? I mean, think about it. We are human, and in our natural thinking, we can get so self-conscious, saying that I can't say something to somebody; they might look at me weird. I tell you one thing: the believer who was led by God to share the gospel and did not, the look they're going to get at the white throne is going to be far more difficult. Because we're going to see those people. It's coming. We already know what the mark means. It's already being used. There's a company that's producing these things. Its name is Verichip. Now, I don't know that they're going to produce the one that's used in those days, but they're producing something that's very similar. And you get like the spirit in this election. Have you noticed the spirit that is involved? Have you discerned the atmosphere? There's like a spirit that's stirring this up. Nothing is said, but yet there's great popularity. And there's a spirit that is in the countries, and nothing against the person. I don't know him. I hope if he's elected, I hope he's a wonderful president, and I'm going to pray for him. But, you know, the countries that are saying that the one candidate is a citizen of the world, and they are celebrating him and hailing him, and, you know, so a guy writes a book that criticizes him in Kenya, and Kenya kicks the guy out for criticizing him. I mean, there is a spirit to this. And now you consider that Russia is getting more dangerous again. And they are already anti-Semitic, and they are already hostile to Christians and to Jews. And Russia is going to come down from the north and attack Israel. How far are we from that? You get the world's economic crisis. You get the crisis with the oil. How far are we from the oil companies making, or the oil producers making, an alliance with the Europeans? Right? Because that's what's supposed to happen. The Arabs are supposed to make an alliance with the Europeans. How far are we from that? How far are we from Russia, that is now hostile to its neighbors, being even more hostile to Israel? Well, it's always been hostile to Israel under communist days. How far are we from that? Buy back your opportunities in the gift of time that you have, because you don't have very much of it. Don't waste the opportunities you have. They are only brief. And even if you do not see the rapture, your life is only a vapor. buy back your opportunities. Don't fool around with condemnation. Don't fool around with the flesh. Don't fool around with natural thinking. You don't have time for that. There is a kingdom and there is a war and we are in the battlefield. Buy back your opportunities by using them. The days are evil. When I see some of the kids that I teach, 14-year-olds, and they look like, frankly, they look like prostitutes, some of them. And this is what is popular and accepted and normal. And even the parents think it's good. That's what blows my mind. Even the parents think it's good. And these, some of them are kids from Christian homes. Just because there's a church on every corner doesn't mean that the Word of God is there. Just because there's a church on every corner doesn't mean that the people in that church are saved. Haven't we done many wonderful things in your name in Matthew chapter 7? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Kind of a whole new light. And if you consider the messages the past couple of times about what is iniquity, you workers who worked out of a self, a consciousness of self frame of reference, trying to produce something from me. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you. When the mission field is not a soul-winning endeavor, but the mission field, and God bless the people for kindness, that's nothing against kindness, but it's not the mission field to go out and paint a roof or a house or fix a leak somewhere or wash a floor. That's not the mission field. That's kindness, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not the mission field. And they'll go and they'll repair a roof, but do they win a soul while they're repairing the roof? Now, if you can use that as a fish hook to be a testimony and to win souls, more power to you. But if all you're doing is repairing a roof, then you're not a missionary, you're a roofer. And an airplane ride doesn't make a missionary. There's nothing magical about airplanes. I'm a missionary because I'm not at home. The day I go home is the day I stop being a missionary. Jesus was a missionary because He left His home on high and came for us. And He came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm not in the New Jerusalem, I'm here on earth. As long as I'm not in the New Jerusalem, I'm a missionary. That doesn't matter if I never get out of my backyard. It's like that one guy, maybe you know the story. He was an Israeli soldier and he was very angry about the Syrians coming into Lebanon and this occupied part where he was, he was a Christian. And he was very angry about the Syrians coming in and he didn't like it. And God rebuked him. And God said to him, "Can you go and witness in Syria?" And he said, "Well, no." And God said, "Well, I brought 50,000 of them to you." Right? As long as there's a lost soul, I'm a missionary. The airplane ride doesn't make any difference. Right? The airplane ride doesn't make me a missionary. The fact that I'm not in the New Jerusalem does. How many sleeping missionaries are there? I think, unfortunately, the statistics show us that most of them are asleep. They don't actually know that they are. What, 1 in 10 churches sown? Isn't that the statistic? 1 in 10 churches sown? Yeah, that's the statistic. That means that 1 in 10 are raising up actual people who are what they are, as missionaries. The times are evil. And they are short. And even if I go to be an old man and don't get raptured, that's still just a handful of years. The day will come, and I don't care how old you are or how young, the day will come when you go home, rapture or not. And you will have had a set number of opportunities, and God will ask you, what have you done with your opportunities? And He'll open the books and He'll examine them. And He won't bring up our failures, but we won't get rewards for the opportunities we didn't take. And so not only does our future in eternity depend on it, as far as our reward, as far as our position in the kingdom of God, whether we reign or observe, but the souls of the people here depend on it. We are the body of Christ. There is no other body. God has no plan B. He has the body of Christ only. And He sent His body just like He did when He came down incarnate. That was the first part of the body that came down in this way. We are the rest of it. Firstborn among many brethren. We have to soul Him. It's a commission. It is our purpose. We have to soul Him. What's our purpose? Four purposes, right? Four purposes. Number one, get to know Him. Number two, love the body, edify the body. Number three, win the loss. Number four, conform to His image. I don't have time to not get to know Him, to ignore His word. I don't have time to not love the body of Christ, to withdraw, or to have an attitude, or to hold a grudge. I don't have time to let people go into hell because they don't have time for me to do it. I don't have time to lose the opportunity to be conformed to His image because I lose rewards. What's so special about rewards? What's so special about reigning? I'll tell you one thing, it ain't a cash prize. It's those who are closest to the Savior. The president has a cabinet. Do you know the president? I don't. His cabinet does. They're the closest to the Savior. What time is it? Because the days are evil. Whatever time it is, I know this much. We don't have a lot of it.